Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on the Skype hotline, we have
John.
Very monotone.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Robot John.
So this week's episode.
It's a lot to come up with a new, like, 2 second bit every 2 weeks.
So this week's episode, what we're going to be doing is Oscar Nobs came out Monday morning, bright and early. For the Pacific time zone. Anyway, moving on. We'll talk about that a little bit. We have the Morbius trailer. Sean's really excited.
Yeah.
The Outsider TV show on, it's a miniseries. It's a new miniseries out on Netflix. Not Netflix, HBO.
HBO, the Sorry. Netflix of TV.
Yes.
Yes.
actually, Sam, it's not actually TV, it's HBO.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Do you not see the advertisements, Sam?
I'm sorry, okay. I won't do it again.
Did you guys decide on Little Women?
Yeah.
Did you want to do that today?
Yeah,
okay.
We'll talk a little.
We're talking little woman, and then we're going
like,
to
like really small,
and we're going to finish off with some news, I think. Right? And
yeah.
Starting off, I made a mistake, and my OCD is going to kick in.
Oh boy!
But I went down a long train. It's going to be a long ride. I started Supernatural.
Yes, you did.
Take forever, man.
Yeah, but how do you like it so far?
It's a worse Grimm.
It's a worse Grimm?
Yeah, it's not as
first
good
season.
Grimm.
It takes a little bit to get into.
Well, it just annoys me that after the first episode, they're already off that find their dad situation thing.
Don't
the first
worry,
episode, it, their dad's yeah. gone, but the second, third, fourth, and fifth, I'm at six now. I think it's just, you know, they just go completely off that train and. I don't know, I'll give it a season.
Well,
see what happens.
It's one of those shows, really quick. It's one of those shows where the first like few seasons, it's kind of like the X-Files, where there's like a monster of the week kind of thing, and then there's like actual plot episodes. So it's kind of like that.
For there's been I want to say two good plots and two bad ones.
Yeah,
monster of the weeks. I'm sorry, monster of the weeks.
I generally enjoy those episodes, but the later seasons, it's like a overall story arc from like begin. All 22 episodes have something to deal with the main story.
Yeah,
and it's kind of. I mean, I still have yet to finish it. I think I'm still on like season 12.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
So I'm still like dragging.
This is what, 17 seasons or something.
Yeah. I'm still.
It's
I'm
just,
dragging.
It's just I go to the gym at lunch some days during the week, and I'm on the treadmill, mm-hmm. and it's just playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's on TNT or TBS or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I see it every once in a while. We go to lunch,
and it's just. It's there, and you know, I'm like, I really want to know what they're saying, because, you know, I'm dying on the treadmill, so I need to think about something else.
Yeah.
But anyway, I started that train,
it's just a heads up.
And I know you
It's
you
not
like
a bad
show.
You got to give it a little bit. Like, it's cheesy in the beginning.
You know me. I'll give it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he watches The Expanse.
Start a spinoff podcast called Knights of Supernatural 2.
I appreciate the effort. A for effort. Sam, you're itching at the Expanse scab that I currently have. And I have two brand new bottles in front of me, so I can bash those over your head at any time. Can somebody just watch one season? Just watch one season of the Expanse. I will pay somebody to watch one season. Jesus. Anyway, what do we want to do first? Oscar noms?
Whatever you want.
The Expanse, season 2.
Well, you wanted to get the
Morbius trailer out of the way.
Oh yeah, let's
crack the Morbius
All right.
egg.
So, Morbius trailer came out. It is the latest from
Sony
in association with
Marvel, which is the third movie to do that.
Mm-hmm.
after X-Men The last X-Men. So, Dark Phoenix, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and now this.
Wait, these are the three.
Dark Phoenix? What? That's not Sony.
That's Fox.
No. It's this is the third movie that is labeled with in association with Marvel.
Oh,
since not the, Sony. Since the, it's just that, like, rather than Marvel Studios, like at the beginning of all these MCU movies,
yeah,
they have that in the beginning.
We're lingering on this. However,
so now, okay, let me. I just need to work in my Venn diagrams of cinematic universes here.
Yes.
So this is existing.
You're getting way too ahead of yourself.
Yeah, I guess we are. Okay. let's what is, Sean? Yep. What's a Morbius?
All right, so Dr. Morbius, born with a blood condition, went out to seek some kind of cure. Accidentally infects himself with the vampirism and becomes a living vampire. So he's not dead, but you know he looks like a vampire.
He's a daywalker,
pretty much.
Yeah. Now, for those
you know
of
what
you
struck me about this is that, like, literally, this premise is, like, and I'm not even really an attack as much as just, like, this is just, like, half the superheroes and villains, right? They accidentally eject themselves, and bam, they're evil or good and have incredible powers.
Right. The thing with Morbius is he's an anti-hero, so, like...
He very much starts off a villain.
Yeah, he's still a vampire at the end of the day, so he needs to feed on blood. But he's trying to cure himself, so, like, at least in the comics, like, yeah, he's considered bad, especially by, like, somebody like Blade, who hunts vampires, but, like...
Also Marvel, by the way.
Yes.
And but, a Daywalker.
Anyways.
But then again, it's not past any comic book company to put three of the same character in a comic book.
Right.
Just with a different name.
And a different origin. But anyways...
they're all the same.
It's a how is it the same?
They're vampires and they walk in the daylight.
How did Blade become a vampire?
Not origins.
That's what I said.
The end result.
Every superhero has the same end result.
It's just
they beat up bad guy and they win.
I fear this movie is going to make him a hero. I fear this movie is going to make him a hero.
Well, yeah.
He's not in the beginning.
It doesn't matter.
He's
literally like an anti-hero. Like,
in this
think
movie,
of the Hulk.
I want him to end a villain.
No, he won't.
Chris, was that all you were worried about?
This whole movie, this trailer was miserably bad.
Or just like the, wow, this looks incredibly dumb.
Yes.
I just, you know, I don't get why people are like, listen, we can hang this franchise on Leto. He's going to lead us to the other side of the, you know. Like, I like him as like a weird character actor. Like, he's like, like, got something going on in, like, Blade Runner, and, you know, he's not, like, the main guy in, what was that one, Dallas Buyers Club or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, he's good as, like, a second, you know, fiddle thing, yeah. You know, like, supporting role.
Well,
he's
he was supporting
like a lead,
role
like,
as Joker.
I couldn't tell you a single good one where he's a leading thing. Yeah. But yeah, Suicide Squad's a mess, too.
Yeah, but he wasn't a leading.
Well...
He was in it for like seven minutes.
The way that movie was marketed, though, it was as if he was.
Yeah, right. He was in it longer than he was in 2049.
Right.
Yeah. I think he's only in it for like 7 minutes.
Blade Runner, I think, was the one scene, right?
There were
two scenes.
Two,
maybe.
Cumulatively, it was probably only 7 minutes.
Yeah, so, about the same. Who cares? At the end of the day, in like 2-3 years, Joaquin Phoenix is going to be hired to take over Morbius, and he's going to be nominated for an Oscar, so it's all good.
We're good.
Yeah. No.
This movie just looks
so
very boring. I'm kind of worried for comic book
movies
this year.
I don't understand how you think it's boring. I know you're already mad because you're like, this isn't Blade, so I'm going to hate it.
I didn't say that at all.
Yeah, but you're insinuating.
No, John mentioned my point, so I'm not gonna regurgitate the fact that Jared Leto is clearly one of the worst actors
that's ever won.
There's just so many other people.
Has he won an Oscar?
Yes,
don't tell me
he's
won an Oscar.
Yeah, Dallas Buyers
Club. Oh, I didn't see that movie.
And was it he was in Requiem for a Dream, I believe. And I think he was praised for that movie. Like, he's actually a good actor. It's just like, I don't know. Like,
well, he's a very kind of actor-y actor. Like, yeah. Like, you know, you know, there's some roles that better suit him than others.
It's more of a style. He seems like more of a, there's got to be style to the movie, you know.
He's a, Method actor.
Yeah.
Kind of is like Joaquin Phoenix, except Joaquin Phoenix can actually like be a lead and like carry a movie.
Right. Well, I also feel like it sounds bad, but I feel like Jared Leto gets a lot of shit for Suicide Squad, which, I mean,
I don't even give him a lot of crap for that.
Take out Suicide Squad. What was his next worst movie?
I haven't seen a lot of stuff. I haven't seen a lot of his stuff. Yeah, so I can't.
Exactly. But we all know him as Joker, so we put that against him.
Morbius.
It's not out yet.
I mean, what's the band that he was in?
Saw the trailer.
What was the band? 30 Seconds to Mars?
30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah.
That's not a movie.
I know, but I never liked their music, so I don't really.
I enjoy their music, so. It's kind of like, oh, I'm going to change the world kind of music. So it's kind of like you can laugh at it, but it's kind of catchy.
I also picture him as that $20 million stand-in for Blade Runner 2049.
Hey.
Just like the $20 million Anna Paquin for The Irishman.
Yeah.
Right. Just there.
Yeah. But like the two key things to take out of this trailer, whether you think it looks like shit or not,
Well, aside from having awful internet connection, it looked, the movie itself looked fine.
Yeah. I'm worried because it says from Sony.
did you see halfway through? It's like from the studio that brought you Spider-Man, $1 billion movie. Yeah. From the studio that also brought you Spider-Man, another $1 billion movie.
At Venom, close to $1 billion movie.
Was it worldwide? Did it hit
a billion worldwide?
It came close. It did really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but it did really well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then they're just like, let's force feed you that we're still the owners of this universe, you know.
But yeah, that's the big thing about this that worries me. Other than that, though, there's that scene where he's walking.
Venom.
I love Venom. It was
I gave it a 3.9. Studio.
I gave Venom a 3.9, but I absolutely love Venom. Like it's such a
what's
movie.
Going on with the Godzilla rating? We'll talk about that later.
This movie looks like if Venom took itself too seriously.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see that.
This looks like the kind of comic book movie that like came out 20 years ago.
Yeah,
but. So the two scenes that are very important to this trailer, the first one is when he's walking through the streets and he walks by a mural of Spider-Man and it says murderer across it. That's key because we don't really know what universe this movie's set in. Because it's Sony, we believe it's part of the Venomverse, I guess you would call it.
I believe it's the smook.
What?
The smook.
I think that question
Sony universe of Marvel characters.
Okay.
Smook.
So smook. So it's part of that. But then after they show the actual end, like the title, it ends with the scene with Michael Keaton, who pretty sure is playing Vulture.
Yeah.
It's 100% in the same universe.
Absolutely.
So that means it's...
Be weird if it was Batman.
Yeah. That means this is in the MCU. So it's a Sony movie... That takes place in the MCU.
Although now thinking about it, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, you mentioned Spider-Man.
Yeah, they cleared up the profit sharing and all that stuff.
I understand that, but this isn't an MCU movie. It's not being advertised as an MCU movie.
No,
this
is we'll never get that.
They just had Michael Keaton in the trailer.
Yeah, but they actually have yet to actually say who he portrays in this movie.
It's fairly obvious.
I can tell you too, but like that's the thing. Like that's it's weird because. It shouldn't be an MCU movie, but it pretty much looks like an MCU movie.
It's definitely snuck up on us.
Yeah. And that,
why would they make it an MCU movie?
Why wouldn't they? Because it's not by Disney.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is...
But so is Spider-Man.
Yeah, but Spider-Man is both studios together. And Marvel has... Marvel has creative control over Spider-Man, whereas Sony basically takes the profit.
The good majority.
That's how those movies.
Yeah, maybe
work.
They may have worked out a deal or something.
Yeah,
that's
I wouldn't
the thing.
Be surprised if the third Spider-Man is a Sinister Six, and then this is one of the.
That's
six.
What they're. It looks like they're building.
And then
up.
Spider-Man teams up with Venom.
So that
I could already write. I can write this movie for him. It's already there.
And then the Sinister Six thing is like, it's done.
That
it's
goes
done.
With what you're kind of hoping for, Chris. Is if this leads into Sinister Six, is Morbius part of the Sinister Six? At the end of this movie.
Well, yeah, I would
think. He should be.
So
he should be a bad guy.
Is he actually in the... in like the comics?
I don't think so.
I think
right now what the comics I'm reading, he is being helped by Spider-Man to help cure his vampirism.
No, I'm pretty sure he becomes a part.
I don't know why you said no. That's exactly
well, no, what no. Well, you said you don't know, but I'm pretty sure.
I read it last
sorry,
night.
Sorry. I'm pretty sure he becomes part of it for a small chunk. Yeah, look it up, please. Yeah. Can you look it up?
You could keep talking.
No, I'm pretty sure he comes with a small part of it. If not, it's movies, so why not? Anybody can be in the six. It's not going to matter. It will just upset Sean because not all the six are in there.
Well, anyway. Any other parting Morbius thoughts? I think we're all regretting the fact that we'll probably have to see this.
They have what?
He has been a part of it.
It's small. I don't think it's a long period.
But yeah, he went from like being a villainous character to giving him that kind of sob story backstory and been like, see, he's a sympathetic character, so he's not doing this because he's bad. He's a vampire.
I think, why not build up the baddies? Why not?
I mean,
Venom's kind of iffy.
It totally worked for Venom.
Yeah, but you know, like, I hate to say it, somebody
in the world likes Vulture, Venom.
Yeah,
somebody
Vulture is sitting right there.
Enough to spend almost $1 billion.
I did not spend almost $1 billion to watch Venom that many times, so I'm not alone. But I admit, it's just a bad movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's Morbius for you, folks.
Yep.
Let's move on. Oscar noms. All right, Oscar nominations to the good stuff.
Okay.
Look, we need to talk about the Oscar noms because a comic book movie has 11 fucking nominations, the most of any movie this year.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, that's crazy to me.
It is crazy. I like
big picture crazy and also crazy that it's Joker.
I didn't ask this in your review, but is Joker really a comic book movie?
Yes.
Because just the name Joker? Yes. Okay, yes. That's it.
No Batman's other... in it, so...
Yeah.
Batman's in it?
Well...
Or Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne is in it. But, like, we all know who he is.
Still pulling at strings. Yeah. I know everybody knows it's a comic book movie, but...
It's a comic book
movie. When you also loop it in with the other stuff, it's not...
It's a comic really. Book movie.
It's a comic book movie.
Without a doubt, it's a comic
book
movie.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Comic book movie to me is any movie involving comic book characters.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
Doesn't matter with the style or the genre. It's just, does it have comic book characters in it?
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
That's why Death of Stalin is a comic book movie.
Because
that was a comic book, apparently.
Was that the thing we started to watch like 15 minutes and we couldn't finish it? Okay.
Sam loves it.
Oh, you'd like it, Chris.
I have to rewatch it.
I don't know why we stopped. We started the movie at like 10 o'clock at night, probably.
Yeah, it was like late.
It was late, yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. But yeah, John, you're right. Joker. Somebody, all 8,900 of the voters must have liked it. So,
I guess enough of them. Like, I had no idea. I mean, and it's a legitimate Best Picture contender. It's, I think a lot of the talk early on here has been it's probably going to be between, and there's really no clear cut for Best Picture at the moment. It's like, could be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, could be The Irishman, could be Parasite, could be Joker, could be 1917.
Yeah. It's like a five-way race right now.
Is there any that you don't think that are just going to be crossed right out?
Oh, yeah, all the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Ford versus Ferrari, the two Netflix ones. The Marriage Story, Little Women, and what was the other one? Oh, Jojo Rabbit has no chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was excited, though. I saw 8 of the 9, and I just saw an ad earlier. It looks like Jojo Rabbit's getting a re-release.
Cool.
So be able to cross go yeah, 9 for 9.
Right now, I'm at 8 of 9.
I forget how many I've seen, but right now, Jojo Rabbit and Parasite are the two that jump out at me.
So I
want to see.
I really enjoyed Jojo Rabbit, but I am a little surprised it's on here. Okay. One, it's not the kind of movie the Academy usually goes for. It's like kind of a straight comedy. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's got a serious topic, but like.
It's a period piece too,
but it's like it's usually just not their kind of movie to go for.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's just like I can understand if it was a weaker year, but there's been so many movies that I would probably put ahead of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We've kind of been going through a little bit the last couple years of our ratings just for whatever reason. And like I was looking at my ratings for like a lot of the Oscar movies in the past. And yeah, it definitely seems like this was an exceptionally strong year, which we've been saying, but there's really nothing in there that I didn't like, that I didn't see. And I like a lot of times there'll be movies that it's like, well, of course that's getting nominated, even though it's just okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't find that at all, but you know, Jojo Rabbit does seem like it stick out. I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't, you know, pass judgment on how good it is, but yeah, it does seem like an odd selection compared to everything else.
Yeah. My only one is The Irishman, but I didn't hate that movie. I just didn't like it.
Right.
And I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like the two popes in any other year seems like the sort of thing that would be, you know, yeah. Oh, well, this is like a nice movie for mom and dad, I guess. Like, you know, it's not...
And I enjoyed that.
Yeah, so I guess they decided to just go with Ford versus Ferrari for that instead, which, I mean, I liked, so...
Yeah, it was all right.
Was Endgame on here?
Visual,
okay.
Yeah,
it's just odd sound editing... Star Wars got a nomination over Endgame.
Yeah. Okay. The big thing this year, Scarlett Johansson nominated for two Oscars. One for supporting actress and one for lead. So supporting in
Jojo,
and then lead in Marriage Story. Which is
did not get the nom for Endgame, which is a shocker.
I know, right?
I do want to see Bombshell though.
Yeah, I've heard pretty good things.
Sorry, I'm just reading.
Yeah.
I'm just looking
Chris
at the
is
list
just looking
here.
Through the list.
I wish I put
big,
in order.
Big speaking of bombshells, big bombshell is that Uncut Gems, no Oscar nods.
Yeah, and you think that would be right up their alley.
Yeah.
It's like an actor doing an unexpected role. It's kind of a crime drama.
I mean, he's done the serious thing before.
But he's never done it like this level.
I was shocked that there was nothing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. No female directors.
Yep.
That's a little shocking.
Yeah,
Greta Gerwig, I guess. Yeah. Seemed like a shoe-in to at least get a nomination.
For what, Little Women?
Yeah. Little Women, yeah.
Well, look at the other five. Do you think, after seeing Little Women, do you think it was...
Just
name the movies so you're not struggling over names.
Director Parasite.
1917, The Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite and...
Joker.
And Joker. And it's like, I mean, maybe you could take out The Irishman or Joker, but...
Yeah, all these are strong contenders.
I'd knock out Joker. I don't think Todd Phillips did that great of a job.
But it is tough to see, like, if it doesn't get nominated for Best Director and it has 10 other nominations, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense.
I don't know how that, couldn't happen, right or wrong.
My personal feelings is, like, nah, that didn't deserve it.
So, but I was thinking about this earlier today. Do you think, so 2 years ago they were talking about having the Fan Favorite Award?
Yeah, best popular movie.
Best popular movie,
and they
cut that out. But then, you know, last year you had Black Panther basically nominated for a bunch of awards. Now that Joker's been nominated for a bunch of awards, do you think that Joker and Black Panther are possibly the remnants of that most popular award?
Well, no, because I mean they vote on it.
It could be, but again, what. Black Panther that year made the most money of all the movies.
And
what made the money this year?
Joker.
What made more?
Well,
Joker is the highest profiting movie of all time.
But popularity, what made, well, what
Endgame,
made more? I mean, it broke the record. It's
right.
Popular.
But, you know? But Joker, percentage-wise, made
I'm
a lot more
I'm not diminishing their achievement. Yeah. I'm just telling you, popularity is...
Yeah, but
is,
Endgame was not going to win an Oscar.
Or
for Best Picture.
Well,
there's no chance.
I don't think that was totally, like, impossible. I just think the way the year unfolded, I just think there was never really going to be a plausible chance, especially when Joker killed it.
Yeah. Mm. We all enjoyed Joker, but, like, at times I feel like people overrate this movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, really, I mean, you know, most nominations is not necessarily... It does, you know, there's been plenty of movies that have gotten, like, a lot of nominations and have been...
Oh, I just mentioned it last week, or 2 weeks ago. What's the alien movie with the the timeline circles.
Arrival.
The Rival.
Arrival. It won what? One? And they were nominated 8 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a perfect. That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Right. So you know, it's not indicative of performance and actually winning awards or anything, but I just found it strange. I mean, frankly, and there's, you know, it's not even as if Joker was Endgame insofar as, well, they would have gotten all these technical categories, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, maybe like makeup or, you know, production design, like that makes sense. But, yeah. You know, it's not like they were racking up sound and visual effects and all that to still get 11. I just think
that's crazy.
I mean, impressive.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like, I know I just to reiterate what I said, I personally feel like this, the Joker and with Black Panther last year, it's just like, what has become of that? Like,
what do you think? They're just being like, this is what the kids like.
Exactly. It's like, well, you have to vote in one that the people liked, and this one made the most money, so...
I mean, the most surprising part is, like, I could understand that if it just got that, maybe, yeah. like, production design or makeup, but, like, 11? To me, that shows, like, the Academy liked that movie.
I know. It's just surprising.
And it's Todd Phillips. It's not like Todd Phillips is, like, fucking Scorsese either.
Right.
And I also think it's also hype. Joker, I think, came out at a perfect time where people watched it, people saw it, people still talk about it.
Yeah.
It could be one of those situations where because it was so early, it helps.
That and it helped take care of that bad taste in our mouth of Jared Leto.
Do you think, if I had to just go straight up in the zeitgeist of like 2019, did Joker or Endgame have a bigger impact?
2019?
Endgame.
Yeah, I'd say Endgame.
Yeah, probably. Endgame sticks... Well, I didn't see Joker, so... But what sticks with you more, Endgame or Joker?
Endgame.
Yeah, Endgame.
Yeah, okay.
For me, at least.
I'm not even saying Endgame's, like, a worse movie than Joker. I just think Joker, like... I don't know. I see, like, a lot of Joker memes and shit. Like, you know, like, it seemed like it was definitely more of a thing when that came out than Endgame was. So, and Endgame was a huge release.
So, based on that, then, the Mandalorian with Baby Yoda memes is, like, the best thing that ever happened this year.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, top things of 2019 is Baby
Yoda. Oh, God, yeah. You see how Build-A-Bear's getting doing Baby Yoda? That's awesome.
I did see that.
I'm
yes.
like kind of tempted to make a Build-A-Bear.
Chris already
now.
Has one.
I don't have a Build-A-Bear. We have not gone to Build-A-Bear with the kid yet.
Yeah,
so.
Don't. Oh, hold off as to. Long as you can. No. Trust me. You want to see a kid hyperventilate?
No, we're okay.
I want all of them. No, that's going to be like okay. $2,000.
Oh, you want to know what? You want to know what? Funny, just a little side story here. So
yeah.
My daughter's starting to like movies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't like Frozen. Doesn't like it. Wow. Moana and WALL-E. WALL-E's her go-to mm-hmm. right now. That's mm-hmm. the main one. And I'm not shocked.
She's got good taste.
I think that's the best Disney movie out there. Okay. Well, that's a different discussion. But anyway. So they had a Harry Potter weekend marathon this weekend. And then I was just flipping through. I left it on and she came downstairs and stuff. And she's like, what's that? And I go, that's Harry Potter. And then she's like, what's that? And I'm like, it's the Sorting Hat and things like that. And then I changed the channel and she started saying no. And then I'm like, do you want to watch Harry Potter? She goes, yes. So she sat down and she watched the whole first movie.
Hey, you got to get those illustrated
including
books.
Commercials. I have them. I have all good. Four. I have three. I need the fourth one just came out. So anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
I need to roll.
But she's a Harry Potter fan now, so.
My child will grow up
also,
on the Hobbit.
By the way, seemed like, apparently, off this new documentary, Aaron Hernandez.
What about the Aaron Hernandez?
Big Harry Potter fan.
Oh.
Oh, is he?
Look at that.
Yeah. Or was he? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a was.
Listen,
yeah.
He lives on in our hearts.
I hope not.
Yeah. That's not.
Actually, he used to live right around the corner.
Yeah.
Any other parting thoughts here on Oscar? I don't think there was anything too crazy. Oh, Sean, we do have to mention.
Yep.
The greatest movie of 2019, especially the greatest movie in the 4:3 aspect ratio, did The Lighthouse receive the nomination for cinematography, which is so fucking great.
Yeah. I wish it was nominated for other things.
Because you know what's going to win.
I wish Defoe was, but...
Yeah, Defoe deserved it.
Yeah.
that.
Oh, Defoe was phenomenal. All you have to do is watch that.
He would be lead, right?
Yeah, they were both lead.
You know, he'd probably be supporting.
Well, I believe Joe Pesci is up for lead, isn't he?
No, he's supporting.
Oh, he's supporting? Okay. Who's the leads?
Actually, De Niro did not get nominated, right. Which, you know, I agree with. Antonio Banderas, Leo DiCaprio, Adam Driver, Joaquin, and Jonathan Pryce from Two Popes, which that would be my, you can switch out.
The Two Popes?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. As much as we've been giving Joker shit, I think Joaquin Phoenix actually has...
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I don't know if he should be the prohibitive favorite that he's... appears to be, but like, I mean, I think that's like a legit like nomination.
Yeah,
there has to be some hardcore soliciting and campaigning for somebody else to top.
Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of how the Oscars.
11 noms. He made the movie literally, and
oh yeah, that movie is carried on his back.
Yeah, and the fact that they like it 11 times,
you can tell because he's contorting the whole time,
right,
from the pressure.
Oscars are hostless again this year. Bravo.
Good.
We don't need it.
No. It actually worked really well last year, and I was very happy with it.
We were done at like 11:30.
No, it was like 10. It was before 10.
It was before 11. No.
It was before 11. It was crazy fast. Like, I was like, looked at the clock.
What was it? It was like 20 minutes faster, I think.
There was one year, I think it ended around 12:30.
That was the Moonlight debacle.
Yes. Yeah, that ended after midnight.
Yeah, because I remember it was like 11:15 and I had to work.
But that's worth staying up for at that point.
But you obviously don't know what's going to happen. But
right.
Yeah, course. I stayed up for it. I stay up for it.
Because you didn't have to drive anywhere after.
I know.
All right, well, real quick, we just want to touch on our new weekly feature of Star Wars script leak of the week.
Yeah. What could have made this better? So this week, Colin Trevorrow, who was the original front runner for this movie, Episode 9, there's a video that came out about one of the producers who's basically goes off on like what the plot is behind this movie and like what's going on. There was no like definitive, like actual, like truly like a script yet. They were still in the pre-production stages of this movie. I believe the video is from right before Carrie Fisher passed away. So obviously it was all going to change anyways, because of that. But, so some, noteworthy things about this plot. First of all, title, not The Rise of Skywalker. Duel of the Fates.
Which is a sick title.
Yes, I agree. That is a phenomenal title.
That's a little on the nose.
It's a callback to Episode 1.
Come on. No, but you know what, dude? The whole thing is on its nose. Like,
yeah,
come
I
on.
Guess so.
So in this movie, Kylo Ren comes across. The only mention of Emperor Palpatine is, because he's dead, remember that, a Sith holocron message where he is just a holographic message telling Vader that if Luke won't turn to the dark side, and he ends up killing Luke, to go see Tor Valum, who is Palpatine's teacher, go see him. So
solid
obviously,
Star Wars name right there.
Yeah. So Kylo obviously is like, well, I'm going to go see him. And apparently the holocron explodes, damaging his face, like horribly, like just like disfiguring him.
He has to wear the mask.
No, he actually has a damaged Mandalorian helmet fused onto his face.
Ew.
That's so fucking dumb and awesome.
I know. It's like awesome and stupid at the same time. And I'm like, I kind of want to see that.
To be honest, if you had explained the plot now of like, oh yeah, the fucking Emperor's back, and I'm be like, yes, let's do it. Sometimes you just want to see a dumb Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
I thought we just did.
Yeah, we did, but it was just really
to be
dumb.
Honest, it wasn't dumb enough.
Yeah. Like, Episode 1 is dumb,
oh,
but it's fun.
God.
This one was dumb and not fun.
Right.
Yes. Some other things that happened. Coruscant was going to be in here. Lando was going to show up, do his moves, get people like to help out, you know, get the Spice Raiders to like help out the Resistance and stuff. I guess Rey was going to fight the Knights of Ren and defeat them all, which, I mean, I feel like no matter what you do with the Knights of Ren is just stupid because you never establish them as characters anyways.
Look how intimidating they are standing in the background.
Rey, Obi-Wan, Luke, and Yoda all fight to save Rey in the final battle, and then...
Oh, come on. Right? Why did we get that?
Yeah, and I guess, like, throughout the movie, Luke, Force Ghost Luke, like, haunts, air quotes, Kylo Ren the whole time, which is kind of funny if you think about it, like...
So... So, I recently rewatched the Twilight movies, but with the riff tracks...
Okay. Wait, what?
Yeah.
They're all hilarious.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, they're
the hilarious. The riff tracks are hilarious. They're... But I rewatched that, but, like, the second movie, like, Edward's haunting Bella whenever she does something dangerous or whatever the stupid shit that was. But, like, I'm just imagining that.
She wants to see him.
It's Luke.
But, like, Red's like, I want to see Luke, so I'm going to ride this motorcycle really fast. Yeah. Sorry, hover bike. So.
Speed bike? Anyways, and then like the last thing that I have on here is it is revealed who Rey's parents actually are, and Sam, you're gonna like this one. They're no one.
Thank you.
Because Kylo Ren killed them. That's how he knew who they were.
That's still a better story than
Yes, I agree. Now. It establishes a connection between the two characters.
Exactly.
Also, we don't get like stupid like everybody's related crap.
Yes. Yes. So. Based on all that, I mean, there were little stupid things like Rose was in there more, but who really cares at this point?
Oh, she like unfairly shit.
No, she did. Granted,
hey, she got a movie poster, man.
Yeah, and I think Rey and Poe end up romantically involved in this movie.
Still better than the outcome, even though I wanted Finn.
Yep. But yeah, Poe's.
Did she drop Finn's ass for Poe?
No, she dropped Kylo's ass for Poe.
Oh no, this is Rey. Sorry, I thought you said Rey. Rose.
No, Rey. Yeah, because Finn would have wound up with Rose because of that kiss.
Stupid man.
Duh.
So stupid. There's literally two useless kisses in that whole series.
Yes, and that there we just named one of them. The other one,
both
is,
of them, anyone in this.
Well, like, Kylo Ren and Rey was the second one, and that was just dumb.
Questionably, the two worst movies of the whole saga.
Yeah. No, easily. Without a doubt.
Once again, Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace are still exist.
I still will take those movies over this whole trilogy.
I will too.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Even the shitty, shitty dialogue.
Yes.
Like I said, I've watched Attack of the Clones.
I don't like sand.
That it's coarse, line.
It's rough. Gets everywhere.
The like.
Oh, the random romp around in the field with the
with the shocks. I believe they're called.
Those, oh, is that what
big, like, tick-looking things?
All right, well, here's a question. Remove John Williams' score from those movies. Would you still want him?
No.
Exactly.
Want any of these movies.
He's nominated, by the way.
Yes, he is. He broke his own record
for
Oscar noms. I
don't think he'll win this one.
And that's
Walt still got him, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Walt still has the most.
But that's... it. Just like because it is Star Wars related, like, we'll go back. That is one of the disappointing things about this new trilogy. I mean, you have the original trilogy, some phenomenal scores, some memorable scores. These three movies, I can't tell you anything about them.
Nope.
Like the scores, Sean, were just
let me tell
bland.
You, it's a sickness because I realized this literally this morning. There has been, I think, one memorable theme in the last like 20 years. Like, and the only, like, honestly.
Well, are you talking, including 90s, the
80s and 70s, how many you've had? Like,
right.
You know, Jurassic Park, Jaws, Star Wars, Superman.
Oh, okay.
Like, I mean, they're all John Williams, but right. There's other good ones, too.
Yeah.
Others.
All right. The only good score, like, not score, but just good theme in the last 20 years, the Avengers. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only new one I can think of.
Yeah. And that's a phenomenal score.
I mean, maybe like Inception, but that doesn't really count.
I still wouldn't be able to know if you played Inception, and I've seen it a couple times. I still wouldn't.
No, you're
be able
right.
To know.
Like if I played the trailer music, but yeah, that wasn't even on Schindler. That's a trailer.
Yeah,
I think TV shows resonate more now than movies with the music, at least, or at least the intros.
Game of Thrones would count, I would say.
Yeah,
but that's not movies. So.
Walking Dead has great. theme.
Walking Dead. I love the Bones theme. I don't know why.
Yeah, with that's a great theme. I mean, like TV shows all
Mandalorian.
Yeah,
I can pick that out.
Because I was gonna say, I thought John, you were gonna say of the past like 20 years for Star Wars, the only memorable thing is one thing, and I was gonna say, oh, the Mandalorian, because it was phenomenal. But like since episode three,
the prequels have good music.
Oh yeah, all three of the prequels.
Duel of Fates.
Duel of Fates.
I think Duel of Fates is probably the best. We're getting into Star Wars again, but
I know.
I think it's the best musical score from all the songs.
I agree.
Mm. You know what's also good from Attack of the Clones? Was it
Across the Stars?
Is that it?
And then
the love theme? That's really good.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
The theme I forget what it's called in Revenge of the Sith, but the main one in there. Oh, no, it's not Duel of the Fates.
Battle of Heroes,
yeah.
Battle of Heroes. The da-na-na-na-na-na-na. You know,
like, reminds me of Battlefront.
The fight at the end of Mustafar?
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. And it also... Anyway. I think it... No, it doesn't play in the beginning. But yeah, like it's all three of those movies had a great theme, like song. I mean, Duel of the Fates was the best, hands down. But then you go back to the original trilogy, and there were some great songs in all three of those. So what made these three movies so different? It's like there's no memorable score. I can't remember any of it.
I realized part of it is just that there's no, like, you don't really have title scenes anymore. Like, you don't have long titles cards anymore in, like, movies, so maybe that's it. There's no need for themes.
I guess.
Well, but I think the ninth movie was just a, let's go as fast as we can to get to this, because there's a lot you got to take, and let's not have any music to...
All right, before we get to the reviews, and I guess this sort of dovetails off the Oscar conversation, there's one thing I need to talk about with the 1917.
Okay.
Because... It kind of occurred to me after we had our podcast last week. Okay. So if I take you back into a time machine to 2017.
Oh, boy.
What I guess ended up being movie of the year, I don't know how, well, I guess it, whatever, was Dunkirk, which I loved, and fans of the podcast will remember. That's actually a decent episode to listen to, by the way, when Sam and I just, like, yell at each other on Skype for, like, 20 minutes. So I gave it a 9.2. Sam gave it a 6.5. Chris at a later date gave it a 6. So, and look, I'm just genuinely curious here. How do you possibly rank 1917 as a 9 and that movie as a 6? Because for the life of me, I couldn't tell you how they're essentially the difference between... Now, to me, a 6 is like a movie that's fine, but you probably won't rewatch. A 9 is like a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge gulf to me.
I haven't rewatched Dunkirk.
Me neither.
At all.
Okay. But can you just, like, explain to me how, like, the two are different? Because I think if we sat down... When 1917 gets released, and we watch them back to back, like at our homes, I honest to God can't fathom that the gulf would be that big. Like, I really don't see how that's possible, considering how incredibly similar they are.
There's emotional connections with the characters. I cared about the two characters in 1917. Dunkirk, I have no idea who any of these people are, other than the fact that they love England.
They didn't.
I'm
going to have to go with similar to Sam. It was they didn't hang around with one or more enough to make me actually care too much, if that makes any sense. They should have stuck more with. Well, you can't really stick with the Tom Hardy thing. That's kind of just he's in a plane. You don't want to stick with that too long, but they did anyway. And all those guys on the boat on the beach, what is it? There's like 6 of them or something. I had no idea who half of them were.
No
idea. I knew that one was from the beginning, put clothes on or something. I had no idea. I couldn't resonate or relate to anybody because we didn't stick around with them enough, or there wasn't enough dialogue to actually be interested.
And I know John's gonna yell at me for this, but like Dunkirk, I felt like built no tension. Like, it was just guys hanging out on a beach.
And that is one of the arguments you made when you first talked about this movie.
Yeah, I still feel the same way. It's just like, it's just guys on a beach. I didn't feel any tension. I didn't feel like they had to get off this beach now. Whereas, like, in 1917, you clearly feel like he has to get there.
I mean,
people are going to die.
But there's also that claustrophobic kind of sense in the beginning, like, of them in the trenches.
Yeah, you're stuck in the trenches. Yeah. And like the minute they step out, you suddenly you feel vulnerable too.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I can agree with Sam on that. There was no actual tangible threat to the people on the beach aside from you know, planes strafing the beach.
For sure, there's no tangible threat to, you know, getting on a boat, thinking you're going to get out, getting on a destroyer, going down into the hole, and then, you know, a torpedo hits, and then you have to swim out of the boat. No fucking tension
scene.
At all.
I forgot about that scene. Yeah, okay, so that, but
it's a forgettable scene.
So that's no. Well, no, it's not. I did forget about it until John mentioned it. But there's no. I think what would have helped is with Dunkirk. I think what would have helped is if they actually showed some of the fighting of the people, because there were people who stayed to defend the retreat.
Right.
I think if they showed
it's not exactly a combat movie.
No, it really isn't. And I think if they actually sent. Or shot some of those scenes, or at least some interplay between the people on the beach and the people defending the line, I think that would have added more tension to it. Clearly, we all know what the situation was and what, you know, what the stakes were, but it wasn't portrayed enough in the movie. And I think with this one is, you knew the Germans are out there, and you can't see them. And that's the tension. The tension. It didn't have to be shot in the first.
Wait. That's the same as the other movie. You don't even see the Germans in the other movie. You just see them like in planes and stuff.
You see consequences, though. You see the consequences of the Germans. You see the dead cows. They get shot at. The plane crashes. The guy gets stabbed.
The ship sink.
Ship sinks. It kind of just sinks by hitting by a torpedo. Like,
I mean, that's how ships sink. They don't unless like bombs.
Granted, I haven't seen this movie, but like the difference that I see here is with 1917, there's a face to the enemy, whereas I feel like in Dunkirk,
Do you think there's a face to the enemy?
But in Dunkirk, there's no enemy.
A torpedo isn't a face of an enemy. It's kind of like you're told this thing exists, and you see the things that it's using to harm you, but you don't actually see the enemy. Am I wrong on this? Or
there are literally like just as many Germans on screen. Like, okay, for all intents and purposes, like, I mean, what you come across what three Germans in this movie?
Actually, in 1917, I think you're right.
Yeah,
there's the guy in the plane, the guy who shoots him, and the guy. Who's like going to shoot him?
Slash the sniper. Yeah, it's like five Germans. Five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just as many Germans on screen in Dunkirk. Granted, it's at the very end, but
there's no.
But you also get the German trenches. You're constantly reminded the Germans are here, and they're just somewhere off screen.
Yeah.
You don't really get that in Dunkirk.
I mean, there's constant like flyovers from the Luftwaffe.
It happens like once.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a lot. It happens.
Oh my god.
No, okay. I gotta rewatch it, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't happen as often as you think.
All right, wait until 1917 comes out. Do yourself a little double feature.
All right, I'll do a double feature.
There's no possible way.
Can we agree that Dunkirk and what the heck is that Winston Churchill movie that came out?
Churchill?
No.
Darkest Hour.
Oh yeah,
Darkest Hour. Can we all agree that those should be watched in tandem?
Yeah, yeah, they're kind of. They just are like different ends of it.
Pause that at one point, watch Dunkirk, and then go back and watch the rest. No, I'm serious. It literally is.
They got a bookend each other. So.
That other movie's not that good.
What, Darkest Hour?
Yeah.
I've been trying to find it because I want to watch it again.
I agree with you, John, on that one. That one wasn't that good.
Yeah, like I looked at it, I'm like, my God. Like, it's a movie about Winston Churchill and the Dunkirk evacuation, and, like, it's a 7.5 for both of us. It's like, my God. All right, can I just... One thing that you said earlier, and we moved on. Talking about the characters. Okay. All right. So, like, you're saying you have a larger emotional investment. Okay. Literally, the characteristics of the guy who plays Tommen Baratheon is that he has a brother. that's his only fucking, like, that's the only thing you know about him, that he has a brother. And then the other one, you know, you find out he has a family at the, like, last second of the movie.
But I'm like, with
I wouldn't exactly
them,
say
I'm with them like all the time.
Characters. You're literally following them.
I'm
the
with them all
movie.
The time. I'm seeing them emote. I'm seeing
you see
them
what
react
they see?
To things. I'm understanding them. Yes, I'm not understanding them on like a detailed, like exact
a personal level.
No,
you're not. Like, you don't know their like who they are
I'm
outside
not,
of
like,
war.
I'm not like getting the bullet point. Like, okay, here's everything about these people.
Yeah.
But I'm getting the vibe just from what. Just being around them, just hearing them talk.
Can I say, in both cases, they're supposed to be blank avatars. Like, it is like purposefully for that reason. Like, you're not really supposed to like learn and abstract and, you know, absorb who they are. I'm just saying, to say one movie has one and one doesn't is just
no.
Like,
but Dunkirk doesn't really have that. It's just dudes sitting around on a
beach. Here's the thing: how many?
That's like literally 4 minutes of the whole fucking movie.
I wouldn't go. Yeah, Sam, I wouldn't go.
Is shit.
I wouldn't go that far, Sam.
How many characters are there in Dunkirk?
Other point, they're gonna die. That's fucking tension.
But how many characters are
really? Yeah, he's just upset because this director is better.
No, I just don't understand how you can possibly. No. And like, I'm sorry, this should have been last.
I'm sorry, 1917 is much better than Dunkirk.
I mean, I don't agree with that. I think they're both great, but
I can't wrap my head around Dunkirk being a better movie or the same rating.
And you did not see it in theaters, right?
No. Did I? No, I didn't see it in theaters.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how this goes on the second rewatch on home video, because I feel like it might not hold up as well. And I don't think the other one exactly holds up. Well, I shouldn't say that. On a rewatch, you kind of piece stuff together a little bit more.
To kind of like bring this argument to a close, I'll bring in numbers here.
Oh, Jesus, 50 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, no, we still have two things. So just to bring it to a close, Dunkirk fan score right now on IMDb is a 7.9. 1917 fan score is a 8.7.
Okay.
Still early though.
I know it's still early, but it just
that's a decent gap though for being.
Yeah, it gives you a number.
I'm not going to judge anything that's been out for a week versus something that's been out for 2 years.
All right, but I'm just giving you actual facts.
Can you watch Dunkirk?
And The Dark Knight is the third greatest movie ever.
I understand that. I guarantee you all the people who love The Dark Knight really love Dunkirk for an obvious reason. Anyways, moving on.
We could really go deep into a war movie discussion.
Anyways,
all right, let's
moving
move
on
to Little Women here.
Go ahead.
Oh my God!
Kind of a war movie.
Follow this up.
I can't discuss Little Women.
Sam, you want me to do the Little Women thing?
Yeah, you do that.
All right. You know, So obviously, this is a it's been made numerous times as movies. I believe this is like a third or fourth remake. Well. Not a remake, but an adaptation of the, Mary Louise Alcott? Is that it?
Something like that.
Jesus.
I don't have it in front of me, so.
I don't know how many female listeners we have on the podcast. I'm going to be honest with you guys, but I think I might have just, like, fucking, that might have been it. all right, anyway, it's an adaptation about this family of four daughters, their mother, and occasionally at the end, the father. As they, you know, essentially, I don't know, come to maturity. It's kind of like a coming of age movie, sort of ish.
Yeah.
Sam, you didn't read the book, right?
I haven't read the book. Yeah.
No. So it's, written and directed by Greta Gerwig, who previously, directed, and
I believe she wrote it. Yeah.
Lady Bird. Yeah. And a lot of your Lady Bird favorites back again. With Saoirse Ronan, Timothy Chalamet, and Tracy Letts is a little bit of a cameo there. You know, I think my big takeaway with this movie, Sam, is that, you know, to me they just seem pretty regular sized.
It seemed little at all. What a ripoff.
No, honestly, my reaction at the end of this movie was like, wow, what a nice movie.
Yeah, it's the same reaction I had with Lady Bird, which was like, yeah, it's just nice. It's just nice to sit down and watch a movie like this. It's well done. It's funny at times. It's well acted. Well shot. It's just nice.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Saoirse Ronan's always, she's been great in just about everything she's been in. I absolutely love Florence Pugh. I think Emily Watson's like, okay.
Mm.
Or Emma Watson. Which?
Emma. Emma.
Yeah, Emma. Ask the Potterhead.
I think Emily Watson is the one in the Chernobyl. Anyway. and then whoever the other girl is, she was fine. Chalamet,
John's like, fully in. John's fully in podcast mode right now.
Oh, man. He's still back on Dunkirk right
he's
now.
He's so upset.
I'm still on the beach just waiting for my boat.
And me and Sam are driving it.
I don't know what to really say about this movie. I think it's just a nice movie. It's enjoyable. The stakes are sort of high, but not really.
How's the tension?
I mean, you think really the bomb's going to go off at any minute.
Can you relate to the characters at all?
Yeah,
do
I
you
can
see
relate.
The enemy?
I mean, I can relate to the characters. It has a lot to do with, like, what's it like to be a woman. So, not really on that front.
Sam,
but,
you love Lady Bird. Remember that.
Yeah, but it's just, like, it's because these both are just nice. And, like, well...
I mean, listen, yeah, I can relate to it similar as I did with Lady Bird. Is that, you know, I think a lot of it is specifically in Lady Bird about being a girl in, like, high school going to college. And this one is almost very much the same as... You know, younger people transitioning from young adult to adulthood, which, yeah. You know, at that point, this is, you know, takes place during and right after the Civil War, you know, happens at a rather early age. So, you know, it's like Emma Watson, like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shit, she has two kids. And her marriage is, like, not exactly how she expected it to turn out.
Mm. Yeah, it's... I can't relate to the specifics of being a woman, but, like, there are just the broad themes. I can relate to those.
Right. The broadest of themes.
Well, we're certainly going to lose those female listeners now.
Yeah.
They're all gone. They're stopped listening.
Of all the people to have reviewing Little Women.
No.
I'd recommend it. I mean, like I know, like it's of the people here on the podcast, probably you know, the two that didn't see it would probably be the least interested in seeing it. But I think you guys would still like it.
Yeah, I was supposed to like go see something... it. Like I said, Sam kept sleeping in. So
Emma Watson, I'm in.
Hey,
I saw The Circle in that movie.
Yeah, stopped. Right. Did you ever see Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
Oh, how did you like that? Really quick.
I didn't like it.
It was okay.
I didn't like it.
Didn't really improve anything and. It's kind of stupid.
No, I think it made it worse. I think the animated.
Well, the original is phenomenal. You know? The original is phenomenal for like a movie, and then like that came out.
It is funny seeing all the with just Disney in general the adaptation differences between the cartoon and the live action. I didn't see Lion King yet.
And, Aladdin is on Disney Plus.
I didn't
by
see
the way.
Aladdin yet either. I'm just waiting for the Mulan. The Mulan trailer looks great.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The Mulan
gets,
looks really good.
If it
good.
Gets good reviews, I'll check it out.
I'm
going to see it.
That's probably the only live-action Disney movie I'll watch.
Amy's favorite Disney movie is Mulan. So obviously we're going to see it opening night or opening weekend.
It looks good. So. They make her out to be somebody who actually is more interesting than the cartoon. Plus there's a song that you can't sing in the from the cartoon. You cannot sing that today.
What, I'll make a man out of you?
Or no, it's like finding a good woman. It's like one who cooks and cleans
okay.
and all this stuff.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You know what's a Disney adaptation that's actually okay? Maleficent.
Yes, you've talked highly of it.
It's not great.
It's not low rated either. Maleficent movies are...
It's all right. Well, I haven't seen the sequel. Right? I haven't seen the sequel, but I saw the first one. It's like... It's different enough that it honestly feels like a different story.
I mean, obviously the best is, and I'm being serious here, Jungle Book is the best.
I haven't seen live action. Won't see it. Why not? I didn't like the cartoon, so I'm not going to see this anyway.
It's good. It's good. Trust me.
He sticks with
the bear. I thought the costumes are pretty good.
Which one?
A Little Women.
Yeah.
I was gonna. Thank you, John. I was gonna try and bring us back immediately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually.
I honestly don't really have much else to say about Little Women.
How about reviews?
I really did enjoy it. I'm not being insincere or anything when I say that.
Yeah.
You want to give your score?
I'd probably give it a 8.9.
Yeah, I'm gonna give a 8.5. I'll say.
All right.
Yeah, a solid recommend to our remaining female listener out there, and all our male listeners as well.
Yeah.
So I will say, you know, with the whole controversy with, you know, Greta Gerwig not being nominated Best Director, although truthfully it was really more just, you know, in fact it was all men, was not necessarily her, even though it was believed that she probably had the best chance. I wasn't like super blown away by it. Like I said, I mean, I think it's a nice movie, but it's not, you know.
It's still
telling.
It's put together well enough where, yeah, she deserved at least a nomination.
Yeah, it's just a nod. All you're looking for is a nod.
I don't know about
it tops
a win.
Those other five, but it tops those other five movies, like we discussed
for
already.
For me, Joker, yeah.
Okay. All
right. She did get a nomination for adapted screenplay, which, you know, I think is totally well earned. And, you know, I think Florence Pugh got a nomination for best supporting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, would still take her in Midsommar over this, and I, you know, still liked her in this one, but that would never happen. So, Midsommar, by the way, as I mentioned to you guys, you should check it out. It's on Prime.
Yeah,
that's a good one to talk about.
All right,
I was gonna watch it today, but I didn't have any time. It's lined up.
All right,
it's on the docket.
Well, anyways,
moving on.
We have one last thing to talk about:
The Outsider. Yes. New miniseries on HBO.
Based on a Stephen King novel.
Yes.
Which low key, Stephen King novels and stuff are becoming like the Avengers
books?
For every other kind of movie.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
You had In the Tall Grass, which is based off the novella. Then you also have Castle Rock on Hulu, which is based off of pretty much all of them.
Pet Sematary came out last year.
It came out. It, part and two, still coming out.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and then you had what the hell is
was it
the
Gerald's
house?
Game?
Silence, not the house. Silence.
Damn it!
The Kubrick film, the old Kubrick film.
Shining.
Doctor
Sleep.
Doctor Sleep. Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Damn it! How did I? That's
I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you guys picked that up.
Over the past 2 years, there have been a lot of Stephen King adaptations coming out.
Yeah. So HBO decided to get in the game, and they started. They did a. I think the book is actually called The Outsider.
Yeah, I think so.
And
it's a relatively new book because I guess in the book, when they're searching a computer, they see that one of the characters is watching Ozark on Netflix.
Okay.
Which stars Jason Statham. Not Statham.
Bateman. Jason Bateman.
Who's watching Ozark on Netflix?
One of the characters in the book.
Oh, okay.
So it's really? Newer,
yeah.
That's how newer
this book is.
So this is a story about a 11-year-old boy who is murdered in a small town and
horribly murdered.
Gruesomely murdered. And it is about this the cop played by Ben Mendelsohn who is trying to figure out the killer, but there's a whole bunch of twists and turns and. You know,
maybe it's things. Supernatural.
Maybe it's supernatural. Nobody has any idea, but it's just this 10 episode miniseries of the story developing, as it comes. This the first two episodes are directed by and starred in by Jason Bateman.
Yes.
And I don't know about you guys, but I am 100% in on this.
It's tough for me to say I'm 100% in. So we only watched the one episode, but I am very intrigued, and I will give it. I want to watch episode two and see where it's going. But this show gives me a very strong feeling of Broadchurch, but with supernatural things, which God, we talk about them way too much. Is a David Tennant show.
First season's really good.
It's a phenomenal whodunit, and they even made it into an Americanized show, also starring David Tennant in the same role, but this time he doesn't have his accent.
Oh, Broadchurch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was. He didn't hear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forget what the American one was.
Something Rock, wasn't it?
I forget. But I did watch both of them, and I mean, I think I liked the ending of the American one a little bit more, but I mean, you have to watch them to understand. But it gives me that, because it's about, like, episode one, they find a dead boy on the beach, and it's kind of like a whodunit, like, okay, who saw him last, where
well,
was he?
Well, you have to set it up, so that's right. The entire first episode right. of this series.
And that... It feels like that, but like in this show, it's like there's Jason Bateman on camera doing all these like really stupid things after the murder, but there's Jason Bateman right there in a thing like 100 miles away.
Yeah,
like how can
I don't
he
know
be
if we
want
to spoil
place?
This one too, John, for anybody. That's I mean, not really spoiling
it's,
anything.
It's the first episode. You can't yeah. spoil anything because the outcome is going to be completely different.
So it's hard. It's hard to, because in the second episode, there's actually stuff that happens that will
right. Because you get the sense that Jason Bateman got accused of, I'm assuming, doing something with the cop's kid. It's like hinted
no,
at in the first episode.
Very far off. You're off.
I don't know. Doesn't he say, like...
It's implied that, like, he had something to do with his kid's death or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
That's what the first episode
right, well,
implies.
We don't okay. need to get too
that's,
deep
yeah,
into that.
That's,
but that gives, like, a reason why Middleton absolutely hates Bateman.
He's projecting.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, so it's that sort of, like, yeah, the projecting. Person you hate the most is the most plausible person as well?
No, so, like, there's a lot of evidence that it is.
There's a lot of evidence that it's one particular person, yes.
Yeah, it almost seems like somebody's trying right. to set him up.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just this unraveling, and in the second episode, you get even more things that will mm-hmm. just kind of twist your mindset a little bit, yeah. and then that happens the same way with every other character. Jason Bateman, I think, is great in
oh,
this.
He's a great actor when he wants to be.
I know, right? right?
Yeah.
It's hard, because I do like him in this. And even Office Party. I love the Office Party. I don't know why.
You're one of the few.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think it was just so ridiculous that I
liked
it.
Game Night was really good, though.
Game Night was good.
Yeah,
he was good
out
on that
Game
one.
Night.
But yeah, when he wants to be good, he is really good. Like, obviously, like, Arrested Development is, like, his best. But, I mean, he's just...
All but the last season.
He's really... Like, what he does season. In Ozark is... I mean, he's not, like, incredible, but he's, like, really on point, especially for how different of a character that is from Arrested Development.
Right.
Currently.
It's almost like, you know, everything he says in Arrested Development where he's like, well, I guess that happened. Like, but that's, like, actually the other guy, but, like, sincere. Like, just, you know, devoid of emotion. And
So, currently, I think it's... Ben Mendelsohn and I think Jason Bateman are the best.
Well, yeah, they're the leads.
They're the leads, but they're doing it real well.
Killing
real,
it.
Real well.
Ben Mendelsohn's lisp, I want to say, is kind of bothering me.
It
at
is.
Times.
It is very prominent in yeah. these episodes.
Like, I thought he was talking with a retainer when we first saw him.
You're right. You're right. It's, sometimes it's hard to really understand what he's trying to say.
Well, he's Australian, so he has. He has, like, a weird... His American accent's, like, kind of weird sometimes.
Right. And then, like, the one thing I didn't like about the first episode is the time jumps. Jumped a lot before
I
and
liked
after.
That.
It bothered me, because it wasn't until, like, the scene was over, I was like, oh, this took place before.
Okay, maybe you wouldn't like Little Women, because there's a lot of time jumps in that.
Yeah. I don't mind time jumps. It's just,
let
like,
me tell
for
you about
this.
The time jumps in Little Women.
But that was... that's enough. The time jumps are over.
Okay.
And that was the point. They were trying to set up... You have to backfill a few of those things, because mm-hmm. literally those time jumps are the case against him.
Right, right.
That's why they're right. there, but they're gone. You don't...
Yeah.
Or at least the second episode, at the end of the second.
So I had a little problem with this, is that it was, a little too overly dramatic,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, oh, yeah, this is really... dark and sinister, and you just got that vibe from it, and I just was like,
well,
I mean yeah, it's about murdering a kid, but like,
not just murdering.
Broadchurch yeah. doesn't have that.
No, and Broadchurch is phenomenal. Really
good.
Yeah. But it also doesn't have the supernaturals.
True, but like I just didn't like that. I was like, and also it kind of feels like it's more clever than it really is.
Mhm. Yeah, because it's a Stephen King adaptation, and based on everything I know about Stephen King books, is I'm like, the ending's gonna suck. It really is gonna suck.
It's could really go off the rails,
right? I feel like it's either.
But that's the thing with Stephen King. You can watch. God damn it! What the hell is the Kubrick film again?
Shining.
The Shining. You can watch The Shining.
Which
he hates that movie.
Yeah, but all right. So Dr. Sleep. It.
Okay.
You can see it, like, it has a solid ending.
No, it doesn't. It turns into a giant spider thing.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on, dude.
He agreed that The Mist had a better ending than his. Like, he can't finish idea.
That's right. What was the end of
The Mist? I don't even think there was an ending. Like, it just was, like, them driving off.
Oh, okay.
And, like, it didn't actually end. But, like, his books have bad endings. Like, he doesn't know how to finish an idea. And it is a great example where it's like, it's this demon clown. It's like, well, how do I finish it? Well, it's going to turn into a giant monster thing and they're going to attack him. And like, and I would, they end up killing him by making fun of him and then ripping his heart out when he shrinks down to size to like a midget.
That's it?
Yeah, that's how it ends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it's a bad ending. He can't write an ending. So based on everything, I think like the buildup is phenomenal, but that last episode is going to be bad, and I already feel that way.
Well, it could be written differently. It's based on. Yeah. It doesn't mean it necessarily follows right. Everything. So I'm in. John, I think you'd like this.
John, I think you would like it.
Probably more than these guys.
No, I'm in. It's just I know how it's going to end, and it's going to end poorly. Yeah. I don't know. I don't actually know how it ends.
The outsider really enjoy the show.
The what?
Us real fans, you and me, really like the show.
Well, I think you'll like it more than it's kind of more up your alley than
it's a whodunit mixed with some kind of supernatural.
Yeah, aspect. But there's twists.
I will be very surprised if there's zero supernatural stuff going on, but I guarantee you there is.
Oh, I mean, in the trailer, it's not overwhelming, but really hinted at, like towards the end, that there's something like, I mean, what. You know, the because have they said the whole, I mean, this is in the trailer, it's not really a spoiler.
Right.
Where they talked about how, like, there's no way he can be two places at once or something like
that. Yeah, that's the first episode.
That's the first episode.
So clearly, I mean, you know, look, it's fucking Stephen King.
Right.
Like, you know, something's going to be up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of get a sense of whether or not it's supernatural at the end of the second episode.
Okay.
It kind of solidifies it a little bit more.
But it's Stephen King. You still don't know.
Yeah, you still don't know. But it definitely throws you in one direction.
And that
first episode, just crazy.
Yeah, in that first episode, there was just that guy in the hoodie where you couldn't really make out his face, but his face looked almost monstrous.
Killer Croc.
Yeah, Killer Croc. Killer Croc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part of the Suicide Squad.
Did you see the girl having dreams, nightmares?
Yes, about the guy in her bedroom.
Yep. Mike, that's getting creepy.
Oh, she's having more. Oh boy,
yeah, it doesn't get creepy. It just gets a little bit more.
That scene made me jump because it was like quiet, and then she screams, and I was like, "Ooh,
yeah." Okay. It keeps building upon itself more and more and more. And
I feel bad.
Something's going on there.
I feel bad for Jason Bateman's character because, like, the end of this episode, the guy's like, "Hey, child killer, you come back from court tomorrow. We'll be waiting." Like, oh man, like, I don't know if he's guilty or not, but if he's not. Oh, man. Like,
yeah.
Poor guy. Because, like, you don't want to go to jail for doing anything to a kid.
Yep.
So, I feel
I'm in on this.
One episode next week.
Yes.
So we will be talking about 2 and 3 a bit more in depth.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, if you guys want to. I'm 100.
I mean, there's not much going on outside of Oscars and this, so.
Next week's episode, or this week's episode, is called Dark Uncle.
Oh boy.
Uncle Grandpa.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Anyways,
shall I, any other further comments, questions, concerns?
Nope. I think we're going to continue on this and maybe, we'll watch a movie or something. We'll think.
Oh, we still have to watch Richard's movie.
Yeah, we got to watch Richard's movie.
That's on Netflix.
All right.
Well, anyway, if you, like all of our episodes, you can find them on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. Send us a message on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsInNerdtitude, and leave us a review on iTunes as well. That really does give us some great,
feedback.
Great feedback. So that does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Adios.
Bye.